DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is wishing you the happiest of holidays. And to kick off the season of giving, DraftKings has new promotions and odds boosts every day this week. There's no better place to get in on all of the action. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code MHS. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MHS when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code MHS to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Give me another place you should go. Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. It's 5 o'clock, hungry for dinner? Yeah, you want great barbecue? You need to go to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Love that place. It was just there last week, and I got something called the heart attack, which was unbelievable. It was so good. It had pork on it. It had a thing, a big, great gravy on it. It had a fried egg on it. I think there was like a jalapeno biscuit. It was fantastic. My daughter split it, and she and I split it. It was fantastic. So if you want great barbecue, we're going to put $20 in your pocket right now. 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340, first caller. You're getting $20 to go to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You can find them in Centennial off of Arapo or North Denver. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Granite Liquidators. Granite Liquidators is granite buying made simple. Find them in Wheat Ridge or go to graniteliquidators.com.
Okay, Mesa, Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay did their mock draft for the top 10 teams. Unfortunately for the Broncos, they qualify as a top 10 team in their number 10. I'm going to go through briefly, who they had going ahead of the Broncos. No surprise, Jets at number one taking Trevor Lawrence. No surprise, Jacksonville taking quarterback Justin Fields. No surprise that Cincinnati is going to take Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle. They certainly need a stud, and this guy seems to be a generational talent to protect Joe Burrow.
They might go O-line with their first three picks
right
in this draft, the Bengals.
The Chargers, they're going to probably, at least according to them, but I would agree with this pick, they might take the best wide receiver in the draft, Ja'Marr Chase, who you can make the case that as great as the draft was last year for wide receivers, he would have been the number one wide receiver taken off the board. Is that fair to say?
Fair to say. Even ahead of Judy, yes.
Dallas, their defense has been bad for years. Micah Parsons, sideline to sideline guy, can cover running backs, tight ends, great tackler, great size.
You can even use him as an edge if you want to.
He's going to go to the Cowboys, according to McShay and Kiper, at 5. Atlanta, they need help on defense. Patrick Surtain the second. He's a cornerback. Philadelphia going after a wide receiver, to whether it's to help Wentz or Hurts or whoever else. I don't know if that's going to be the pick there.
Yeah, I think the Eagles may look wide receiver, but that's a roster right now that's got an awful lot of holes on
right.
it.
Right. So I think after Dallas, it's kind of a crapshoot. But I can see the top five going exactly how they predicted. Lawrence, Fields, Sewell, Chase, and Micah Parsons.
And that's why the interesting thing, not that I expect the Broncos will pick a quarterback, But if they fade down the stretch and they're picking higher and they're really having a referendum on Drew Lock, but what if they're sitting in a position to where they wouldn't have to trade up to take Zach Wilson?
Right.
And that's the thing that, again, I don't think they will draft a quarterback. I don't believe that is their first choice right now. But if they see things going a certain way, and they will do their homework on the quarterbacks in this class. You may not hear about visits because of COVID.
Right.
But you're going to probably hear about them doing virtual visits with Zach Wilson, with Kyle Trask, with Mac Jones.
Do the Lions have a couple of picks in the first round? Did I see that correctly? Like at 9 and then somewhere in the teens? Maybe they made a trade with somebody. But either way, you and I have this.
They have draft capital.
Okay. So they really don't need the Broncos draft capital if indeed they wanted to trade for Matt Stafford, because they have plenty of it. But I digress. Okay. After 5. Cornerback, wide receiver.
Yeah, they don't have an extra first rounder, by the way.
Okay. Tight end to Carolina. I think they're probably drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, and actually with Carolina, a guy who makes a lot of sense for their situation is Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Because with Teddy Bridgewater, they could play this. They can take the guy who has the higher upside, who probably needs more time. Lance probably is a year to a year and a half away.
Right.
Bridgewater is a perfect bridge.
Right.
Pardon the pun. And he's playing well enough to where you could have him be a bridge that lasts.
But you feel
years.
Lance has a higher upside than Wilson.
Yes.
Okay.
But he's also got a much higher bust potential. He only has the one good year. You're always nervous about the guys that have
one year.
Really good year.
Exactly.
Ask the Bears about
that. Or 1 year period.
Right. Yeah, the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky.
Right.
He was a one-year wonder at North Carolina.
So was Paxton Lynch, I think, wasn't he?
No, he started multiple years. Actually, Paxton Lynch doesn't fall into that category.
No.
He had multiple good seasons.
He just falls into the bust category.
Yeah.
So, Carolina, I think they're going to wind up taking a quarterback. They have Detroit taking Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to the Broncos in a second. But you and I had this conversation the other day. I know, Bronco fan, you want the Broncos to win. It makes you feel good. It's good for your Monday, but I got news for you. It's not good long term. When you look at the teams currently, after the Cowboys, who are 3-9, the Broncos are 4-8. The Lions are what, 5-7?
Yes.
The Panthers are 4-8. Those Broncos and Panthers play on Sunday.
High leverage game.
Eagles are 3-8-1. The Falcons are 4-8. If you lose out, you have a chance to skyrocket up that board.
And here's an interesting thing on the Falcons. The Falcons and Chargers play on Sunday. And it came up in a conversation this morning. If you want to help the Broncos draft stock, what result do you root for?
I don't know, just yet. I will tell you. I'm rooting for the team that has the quarterback. Okay. So I'm rooting for the Chargers because I want Atlanta to lose.
But the one thing that comes into play though,
because they may want Micah Parsons.
Yeah, they may, but at the same time, if the Chargers have a pick that's above the Broncos, I don't think if the Broncos want to trade up, I don't think the Chargers are taking that phone call. The Falcons will take that phone call from the Broncos. The Chargers won't.
I would agree, but so you're saying if they wanted to get Lawrence Fields or Sewell, they don't want Sewell.
Not Sewell, but if they say,
they don't want Chase.
Let's say, we really love Zach Wilson here, but we want to make sure that we get him.
I would still root for the Chargers.
Okay. All right.
Because they're going to take Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
And even if the Broncos leapfrog them by one, the Chargers aren't taking the same guy that the Broncos are, and they're going to get something out of it.
Yeah. There is a scenario though where if things broke right, they would rather the Falcons.
So what do Kiper and McShay have the Broncos doing? Taking another fantastic Scrabble word like Ojemudia, like Okawebanam. Pronounce this guy's name, the inside linebacker out of Notre Dame for me.
Well, he's terrific. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And the interesting thing about him, though, is that he's an inside linebacker, but he is a small inside linebacker.
Really small.
He's listed at 215 pounds. He's considered to have the body type to take on another 10 to 15 pounds pretty easily, but this is not somebody who is going to be an in-the-box thumper.
But no.
But he's got speed. He can be used on the blitz, but he's effective in coverage. He's got very good change of direction skills, very good instincts in space. The thing is, though, and this is what may affect his draft stock, there are some teams that may think less of him because he is that dreaded tweener.
He is a tweener. Now, if he shows up at the combine at 225
and runs the way you expect him to
then you know what? He might shoot up the draft board. Mm-hmm. How much does Justin Simmons weigh? At least 215. Mm-hmm. I don't want my starting free safety being bigger than my starting inside linebacker.
There may be even be a few teams that see Owusu-Koramoah as a safety.
Right. So I don't see the Broncos taking him. I just don't.
Yeah, I actually
he's not Devin Bush. He's not Roquan Smith. He's not that guy.
If the draft falls the way that Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay suggest, I think the pick would be Caleb Farley, the cornerback out of Virginia Tech.
You might very well be right. But you know what? I'm sorry, Broncos fans, for saying this. I want Micah Parsons, mm-hmm. so you better find a way to lose. Or, here, I'll ask you. We only have 30 seconds left. I know we need to hit a commercial break. Zach Wilson, worth picking?
If he's at 10, absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely he is. I think he's actually... Now, the thing is, the only sure thing at quarterback in this draft is Trevor Lawrence. Let's just be clear here, okay? But I think the risk-reward ratio on Zach Wilson is right at about 5 onward.
How tall is he?
6'3".
Okay, good.
But the guy that I'm really intrigued with, and he's already said yes to the Senior Bowl, so I'm going to get a chance to see him up close a month from now, at least as up close as social distancing will provide, is Kyle Trask from Florida. I want to see how he looks without Kyle Pitts, the best tight end in college football to throw to. If he goes down to Mobile and plays well without his security blanket, then Trask, I think, is going to shoot up to the middle of the first round, too.
All right, coming up after the break, ESPN came out with their top 100 basketball players in the NBA, but they kind of broke it down. It was 51 to 100. And Michael Porter Jr. was sitting at 51. How do you like that? Where do they have Jamal Murray as they ranked 11 to 50? Jamal Murray, you know, is in there. Is Nikola Jokic in there? Or do they see him as a top 10 player? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. I want to tell you about Denver Distillery. If you're looking for something smooth and refreshing this holiday season, if you're hosting a small party or you're just having some family over, you got to get something from Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, I love it. I like to just sip it because the sweetness of that sweet potato just goes right on your lips. It's award-winning, by the way, gold medal-winning at a recent competition. They also have Colorado gin, straight four-grain bourbon, apple pie moonshine, and bourbon barrel aged spice rum that is just terrific with a Coke or a Diet Coke. You can find Denver Distillery off of Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. You're going to love Denver Distillery. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Bubbles Liquor World. Go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock for the lowest prices on beer, wine, and spirits.
Okay, so ESPN is going through its top 100 players in terms of ranking them in the NBA. Yesterday, Michael Porter Jr., who hasn't done much in the NBA, did a little bit in the bubble, but not a lot. They ranked him 51st, which they are certainly betting on the come. And there's another player who they definitely bet on the come with as well. We'll get to him in just a minute. So they rank players 11 through 50. Nikola Jokic is not on that list, which means ESPN looks at Jokic as a top 10 player in this league. And I believe last year he was ranked in the top 10 as well. I know top 15, but I believe he was top 10 last year. With that, they have Jamal Murray at 21. I'm going to tell you the guys ranked ahead of him, and you tell me, should they be ranked ahead of him? Paul George.
Yes, but a year from now, no.
Absolutely yes right now because of his defense.
Yeah, a year from now, I think that you're reversing it.
I think Jamal Murray, I think last year was like 27th. And so he moved up six slots.
Right.
But he moved up six slots because of what he did in the playoffs, not necessarily because of what he did outside of the bubble and inside the bubble.
Well, somebody,
the playoffs specifically.
Well, consider that somebody we were talking about the Nuggets maybe looking into and should they trade for is Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
And they've got Jamal Murray one spot ahead of Bradley Beal.
Right.
And that's entirely on the postseason, something that Beal did not have.
Right. And one thing they wrote, and I'll read it to you, we saw how lethal Murray can be during Denver's playoff run, and I think he'll take his game to even greater heights thanks to the addition, ready for this, of Facundo Campazzo.
Just call him Facu.
Facundo Campazzo. I'm going to go with the whole name. I'm not going to go Alberto. Facundo Campazzo.
But he answers to Facu.
That's fine. I'm going to go Facundo Campazzo. So it says, continuing, the former Real Madrid floor general will allow Murray to focus more on scoring efficiently as opposed to creating so much on the perimeter in terms of offense should lead to fewer tired leg nights. I agree. By the way, I was reading today in practice, Campazzo looked terrific defensively. He is like the Chihuahua on a pant leg. He's not a big guy. He's not going to be able to match up well against big point guards, but I like this guy on the floor to distribute, making Jamal Murray a shooter. Now, you take away the pick and roll if he doesn't have the ball in his hands. That's a little bit of a challenge because you want that pick and roll with Jokic. Yeah. But you can still run the pick and roll with Jokic with him if you want to. And by the way, Campazzo, apparently when he was over in Europe, he was terrific on the pick and roll as well. But I digress.
I think with Campazzo, the thing that we're going to be saying a lot is that he does things that players of his size shouldn't do.
Correct. So, Paul George, I would say Paul George right now is ahead of Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. Just like Michael Porter Jr., they have Zion Williamson at 19.
This is definitely about what you expect him to be rather than what he was. Although, the glimpses that we had down the stretch last year were impressive. You saw it was all there. And I do think a year from now, we may be talking about Zion being in the top 10.
What about Porter in the top 10 in the next 2-3 years?
I think that's 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I would agree. Donovan Mitchell is 18. Comes down to who would you rather have, Jamal Murray or Donovan Mitchell?
I mean, with all respect to Jamal Murray, I mean, we saw in the first round how Mitchell could just take over.
Well, so did Murray. Yeah, exactly. But here's the difference. Mitchell's been doing it longer.
Right. He's got more skins on the wall at this point.
Right. Murray had a great playoffs. The knock on him has been consistency. Here's a guy that I know you will argue with me on. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons. I know you like Ben Simmons. I don't think you're a huge fan of Ben Simmons. I am. Because defensively, that guy is a lockdown defender, one of the best defensive players in the league. And his line score is super balanced.
You think 16 is the right spot for Ben Simmons, or would you even have him higher?
I love great offensive players who are great defensively, because when you look at the best players in league history, they were all great defenders. Magic Johnson wasn't a great defender, although he was 6'9". Michael Jordan, great defender, right? LeBron James, great defender. Kobe Bryant, great defender. Now, Ben Simmons offensively isn't those guys, and his shooting percentage isn't that great.
And that's the thing in today's game. Is he a good enough perimeter shooter?
He's not a perimeter shooter.
Yeah.
But he is 16-8-8. So he helps you in other ways.
I mean, you're talking, the other thing is, he's not a perimeter shooter. He's not even good from the foul line. I mean, there's nothing about his game.
The bottom line in terms is,
I'm not saying offensive, because he's a guy who gets boards for you. He's going to get 8 assists. He's going to get 8 boards a night for you. So he's not an offensive void. He is just a lesser shooter than you would like.
I would agree.
And that's the one
but
thing.
But he's a point guard. Right. He is a point guard. Your point guards don't have to be your big scorers. Sometimes they are. Steph Curry's not a point guard, or is he? It's more of I guess Klay Thompson's really the shooting guard. Steph Curry is the point guard, I suppose. Let me correct myself.
Curry's the point, but his size says point, his skills say two.
Right. Getting back to Ben Simmons, last year he was 17 points a game, 9 rebounds and 8 assists. Yes, his free throw shooting is horrendous. You can't be a point guard and shoot free throws like Shaquille O'Neal or Dwight Howard. I guess the question is, do you want them right now, or are you betting on the come? Betting on the come, I'll take Jamal Murray. But as we sit here right now, I'll take Ben Simmons. He's a better player right now because of consistency. Here's another argument we could have. Chris Paul.
And you could say that Chris Paul is on the downside just because of his age and experience.
Right.
But at the same time, he played well last year. The second team All-NBA selection.
He led that team.
Yes.
He led Oklahoma
City. And you know what? He's going to lead Phoenix as well.
Yep.
And because of him, the Suns are the biggest wild card in the West.
Right.
Because you can see them now finishing as high as 3 or 4. You can see him pushing the Nuggets if things break right. And Paul, I mean, is there a better leader?
No.
In the NBA, there isn't.
Because if you're only going to strictly look at numbers, only numbers. Because when you're looking at Ben Simmons, you're not looking at defense in terms of numbers, unless you really dig deep.
I mean, there are numbers there, but you're right.
Right. Chris Paul, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists a game. Worse numbers than Ben Simmons. But Chris Paul is a terrific defensive player. Ben Simmons is better. Chris Paul is a better all-around player when you throw in the intangible of leadership. And that's where he is and why he is there.
And don't forget, he's a better shooter than Ben Simmons.
No question. Joel Embiid is 14. Joel Embiid.
It's funny that you have a guy. I mean, he's talented, but you have a guy that there are.
Can't get out of the...
Can't stay healthy.
And you can't advance in the playoffs with this guy.
Exactly.
And you can't advance with Ben Simmons, can you?
They haven't so far. That's the knock on them. Yeah. Let's see what happens now with Doc Rivers there. Of course, you know, Doc couldn't pull all the pieces with the Clippers together. So why is he reflexively going to all of a sudden pull all the pieces in Philadelphia together?
Next up, Bam Adebayo.
That's another one that, like, Jamal Murray, you're talking about the playoff run.
I will tell you this.
And the significance of the Heat going to the finals.
I love that guy. I love his intensity. I love his energy. And he is only going to get better.
This kid is
a stud in the making.
I mean, you and I don't agree on where they've got Simmons, but I think you and I agree on where they've got Adebayo.
Right.
Based on what we saw in the bubble.
This guy is coming fast. Jimmy Butler, yes, he should be ahead of Jamal Murray.
Yes.
Especially because of his defense. Jason Tatum should be ahead of Jamal Murray as well. Coming up after the break. Today, the college football world, NFL world, mourning the loss of Ray Perkins, who died in his Alabama home today. He coached in the NFL. He coached with Alabama. He followed Bear Bryant. Is that the hardest job in sports as a coach, where you follow a legend? Because that's what Ray Perkins had to do. Can you compare anybody's situation to Ray Perkins' situation? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
NFL, college football, mourning the loss of Ray Perkins today. Died in his Alabama home at the age of 79. He replaced Paul Bear Bryant at Alabama. Those are enormous shoes to fill. He was hand-picked by Bryant, with whom he played for in the 1960s, to succeed him, while Alabama finished three of those four seasons in the top 15, which is incredibly impressive. They didn't win an SEC title, and his tenure was regarded by many as a disappointment, despite finishing three of those four seasons in the top 15. So, with the pressure mounting, he left after the 1986 season to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers job. With that, historically, which jobs for a coach or a manager was the toughest act to follow?
That's Bear Bryant was right up there.
Yep.
I mean, talk about somebody not just a successful coach, basically had godlike status in the state of Alabama. I mean, right, to the point where, like, when Ray Perkins took that job, he was coaching the New York Giants, and he was doing a pretty good job with the New York Giants. They had been down for many years. He'd gotten to the playoffs. Certainly a lot of the talent collection for the team that won the 1986 Super Bowl 21, beat the Broncos, was done on his watch. He was not forced out of New York in any way, but he basically kind of heard the call. And I believe when he took the job, he equated to mama calling you home.
Right.
And that's the sort of status that Bear Bryant had. I think because of that, that's what sort of separates it from even a job. Like, for example, at some point in the next few years, Mike Krzyzewski is going to leave Duke.
Right.
Is that going to be an impossible act to follow? Absolutely.
Right.
But at the same time, you're not going to have the same crushing pressure of an entire state the way that Ray Perkins had in Alabama. I would equate what Perkins dealt with to what Bill Guthrie's dealt with at North Carolina,
correct,
replacing Dean Smith.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that happened there was that Smith quit so close to the season. He quit in October.
Right.
That Carolina had no choice but to hire Guthridge. And even though he dealt with a lot of the same scrutiny and I would say vitriol from the fan base that Perkins did, somehow he led Carolina two Final Fours in 3 years before he decided he'd had enough. And that's another thing that's interesting. Perkins was relatively successful replacing Bear Bryant. I believe was it Gene Bartow replaced John Wooden at UCLA.
Right.
Bill Guthridge at Carolina. All of these guys did very good jobs,
right,
replacing the legends, but the pressure was so intense that they only lasted a few years.
Well, I'll give you another example that I think is apples to apples to Ray Perkins, except for a couple of areas.
Mm-hmm.
This guy replaced a legend who had tons of success, yet unlike Perkins, this guy was beloved. Had good success, mm-hmm, but was beloved unlike Perkins. And that is Joe Girardi replaced Joe Torre.
Yes.
And Joe Torre won four world championships, and Joe Girardi won a single one. They were there for roughly the same amount of time. And Joe Girardi had a lot of success, but not the same success as Joe Torre. I'll give you an example of you replace a guy you have a guy who had a tremendous amount of success, and this goes right. I'm hitting home for you right here, right?
Yep.
People thought, how in the world are the Tampa Bay Rays going to replace Joe Maddon?
Yeah.
And Joe Maddon was terrific. And he's a great manager, but it's the system that is bigger than the manager. As long as the manager buys in to the system, and Kevin Cash,
yeah,
on the job since 2015, got the Rays to the World Series.
Now, one thing that is interesting is when we talk about Torrey, and even we talk about Joe Maddon, is that while these guys were phenomenally successful at their jobs, the level of the team tailed off a little bit at the end. And sometimes that buys a buffer. Like, one thing that worked against Perkins at Alabama was that in 5 of the previous 6 seasons, Alabama was a top 10 team. So Bear Bryant was leaving on pretty close to a high. Dean Smith left Carolina after 3 Final Fours in 5 or 4 Final Fours in 7 years, including a title. But you compare that to, for example, if Jimbo Fisher replacing Bobby Bowden,
right,
at Florida State. Florida,
he won a title, didn't he?
He did. And Florida State had been in a very slow but palpable decline for about the last 8 years,
right,
that Bowden was on the job. And where I think that is interesting is one job where this discussion is going to come into play probably in the next several years, I'd imagine, is the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick.
Right.
And if the Patriots stay at this level, you know, about 500, maybe a bit above, a bit below,
right,
whoever steps into that job will not have it as rough as these other coaches who replaced legends, because you wouldn't be replacing on a high. Look, as great as Bill Belichick has been, if the Patriots go 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 for the next 4 years, people will get impatient, and right, they will be more receptive to whoever the next coach is.
I'll give you something, and you know, your depth of sports knowledge is limitless. I think I have a pretty good sports knowledge. Danny, you might want to chime in here if you want to. You know who my college football team is, right?
The Kansas State Wildcats.
You got it.
And I think this is a great example.
Bill Snyder left the Kansas State program after the 2005 season. The stadium is named after him. Bill Snyder Family Stadium. If you don't know Bill Snyder's story, he's easily one of the top 10 college football coaches of all time. You can make a case he is top 5 for what he did turning around a program that was awful and turned them into a national power. He left the program in 2005. The program hired Ron Prince. And for the 3 years that he was there, Ron Prince wasn't bad, but he also wasn't very good. His total record as a head coach, I think, was something like 17 and 20. Not awful, but not great. Not to the K-State standards that they were used to with Bill Snyder, even though Bill Snyder, his last 2 years, they really stubbed their toe.
Right.
What did K-State do to replace Ron Prince? They brought back Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
At the age of like 117. And within three years,
them right back where they were.
Within 3 years, they were 10-3 and ranked as high as number 10 in the country. The following year, they were ranked as high as number 2 in the country.
Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of sports, where a guy leaves, whether he was fired or he retires, because Bill Snyder retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back to replace the coach that he handpicked to replace him.
Well, it's a few coaches down the line, but Mack Brown is trying to pull off something relatively similar at North Carolina. Of course, he left Carolina for Texas.
Right.
And then won a national title there and was very successful for a while. And then was retired. He was in broadcasting. But Carolina had cycled. They tried everything. They tried the handpick replacement for Mack Brown. They tried bringing in a guy from the NFL who'd gone to the school in John Bunting. They'd paid big money for Butch Davis. Carolina had tried about, had basically gone in any direction you could, before finally saying, okay, if we can get Mack Brown back, even though he's approaching his 70th birthday, let's do it. Another example, remember Bud Grant?
Of course.
The great coach with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
After
he got to the Super Bowl 4 times, right, and never won it. Kind of like Marv Levy, and both are in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. after the 1983 season, Bud decides, you know what? I'd rather hunt. I'd rather fish. I'm going to retire and stay on as a consultant. His replacement, Les Steckel, goes 3-13. One of the worst 1 year collapses any team has ever endured, and they couldn't fire him fast enough.
Right.
And then the owner Max Winter goes to Bud and Mike Lynn, who's running the team as well. They go to Bud Grant, and basically he extracts a contract that makes him the highest paid head coach in football, but also effectively keeps him around in some capacity at his discretion for the rest of his life. He is still a consultant with the Minnesota Vikings. He still has an office to this day, even though the team has changed hands. He comes back for 1 year, stabilizes everything, gets him to 7-9, and then hands the reins to the guy that he wanted to replace him, Jerry Burns, and the Vikings got back to
winning. I know we need to hit a break. Biggest fraud replacing a legendary coach is Barry Switzer.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest fraud. He won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's talent, but he essentially drove Troy Aikman out of the league.
Barry Switzer replacing Jimmy Johnson probably cost the Cowboys at least 2 Super Bowl wins.
No question. What do we have coming up on Advanced Tax Solutions, just in case you missed it?
We will keep the coaching conversation going with the NBA releasing some new rules for their coaches for this upcoming season. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Go forward and on, you got to come back for more.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Granite Liquidators, Twitter feed at Mace Denver. At Eric Goodman, go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Advanced Tax Solutions. If the IRS is coming after you for back taxes, you need to work with Advanced Tax Solutions. Find them at AdvancedTaxSolutions.com.
Just in case you missed it, the NBA has released some new rules regarding coaching attire. Coaches will not be required to wear a suit jacket or sport jacket on the sideline. They will have an option to wear the top of their choice, and masks will be required. So on this topic, and going back to our conversation in the last segment about great coaches, who are some of the best dressed coaches in all of sport, past or present, in your minds?
Bear Bryant.
Houndstooth cap.
Yep.
Pat Riley back in the 80s was Mr. Armani suit, always dressed to the nines.
Yep.
Then you had guys like Doug Moe and Don Nelson, who were at the other end of the spectrum.
Who picked their clothes up off the floor, and if it smelled good, they threw it on and went to the game.
Nelly was fond of the fish ties.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But it's funny you mention that, because I've watching college basketball the last 10, 12 days or so. With no fans in the stands, the suits for college basketball coaches have gone bye-bye. They look like football coaches.
Calipari was a good dresser. Patino was a good dresser. Eric Spoelstra is a good dresser.
And now we saw it in the bubble in the NBA. Now we're seeing college basketball. You're not seeing the suits. You're seeing the Nike polos. You're seeing the warm-up jackets.
Would you like to see NFL coaches go back to wearing a suit and tie like they did back in the day? I think the last guy to do that was Mike Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right to you?
Mike Nolan and Jack Del Rio both did it. And Reebok actually designed suits for them.
Oh, gosh. The
whole point was Reebok at the time of the NFL contract. And Mike Nolan
did have pants with elastic on it.
Well, it should have. And so what happened? Reebok's like, no, we don't want you to do that. But then they designed a suit, and for both of them, it was basically a black suit. And you saw it was a pretty tasteful tie. It was a striped tie. But I thought to myself, well, you know, a good kind of compromise would have been just have the coach wear a sweater vest. Mike Tice, when he coached the Vikings.
Yes, that's correct.
Remember, the things you remember about Mike Tice, the pencil behind his ear.
Right.
Kind of like we saw from Matt Patricia in Detroit the last few years.
Right.
And for a while, he wore a sweater vest, and that was a Reebok sweater vest, and so everything was fine. I would like to see a few more coaches wear some shirts and ties. Ray Perkins, who we talked about earlier in this show.
Should we wear a suit and tie?
No, no.
Why?
It's, you know, I mean, we could.
How many suits do you own?
I own 5 or 6.
Oh, there you go. Well, perfect. You have five days a week.
I have enough suits or coats and ties to be able to wear it. But if we ever did decide to do that, Eric, it would be very much the business up top.
Why don't we do that one day? Wear your favorite suit.
Let's do that, but let's not do that tomorrow. How about that?
Why? All of yours are at the cleaners?
No, no, no. I just want to...
Or are they in the wash?
I don't wash my suits. I want to prepare for it. But you know what? Maybe we do that like the holiday week, right? The last show before Christmas or something like that.
Wednesday the 23rd.
Wednesday the 23rd. Festivus. See, it's a holiday. For Festivus...
For the rest of us.
We'll wear coat and tie.
Just in case you missed it, the Browns and Giants have been flexed to Sunday Night Football for Week 15, so not this upcoming weekend, but the weekend following. They'll replace Cowboys 49ers as the Sunday Night matchup. Who will need the win more, the Browns or the Giants?
Think about this for a second. The Cowboys and the 49ers are two of the most important franchises in the history of the NFL, and they're... Decades of success. I say decades. Decades of importance and success in the NFL.
This is probably...
Got pushed to the side by the Cleveland Browns.
This is probably the most historically relevant non-division rivalry in the NFL. Cowboys 49ers.
Yeah.
I mean, the big games between these teams go back 50 years.
Probably. Wow.
Yeah. Well, they were playing
since 1981. Maybe.
No. They played in the playoffs 3 consecutive years in the early 70s, including...
Who was the quarterback of the Niners back then?
John Brody. They played in an NFC Championship game. That's where this started. And
but the Cowboys were the better team.
Yeah. The Cowboys did beat the 49ers, but that's where the rivalry began. Really, the only other one that's in that category, historically speaking, it also involves the Cowboys. It's Cowboys-Packers.
Steelers.
Steelers and who in the AFC, though? I mean...
Broncos?
It's close, but it's probably not in the category of Cowboys.
I like the way I pandered there.
No, but Steelers-Broncos is another one that's kind of in that next tier, but they've played a lot of meaningful games over the years, especially in the postseason.
Yeah. Dolphins?
And who? And the Steelers?
Are you talking about rivalries or just historic teams?
I'm like these are...
Patriots?
These are...
I think the Patriots would qualify.
Yeah.
For the last, like, 700 years.
But
that's what it feels
but
like.
But who's the team that you pair them with?
Well, as long as it's Manning and Brady,
it'd
be the Broncos.
I mean, it would be Patriots-Colts if Manning had stayed in Indy. Exactly. But they played in the AFC Championship with Andrew Luck at quarterback.
That was Advanced Tax Solutions. Just in case you missed it, if you're in trouble with the IRS of the state of Colorado, you better know what to do, because eventually they will catch you and you will have to pay those taxes. The question is, will you get a refund like some people have at Advanced Tax Solutions, or will you be cut such a break because you've worked with Advanced Tax Solutions? Give them a call today, 303-753-6040, 303-753-6040, or go to advancedtaxsolutions.com. Can't believe tomorrow's already Thursday.
I know, and we're going to be 3 days out from Broncos at Panthers.
Yeah.
None of the top 3 cornerbacks for the Broncos. Panthers still waiting word on their wide receivers.
Danny, you're wearing a Notre Dame t-shirt today. Can you sing the fight song?
I cannot. I didn't go to Notre Dame.
So why do you have the shirt?
My sister went there and works for the school
Catholic?
As well.
Are you Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, yes.
Are you Catholic now? You just show up for like...
Yeah, you know, if my mom's listening, yes, like I go Christmas. Every week.
You go every week?
If my mom's listening, yep.
What if she's not listening?
Then I might have let a couple weeks slip recently.
Well, now you get to go to confession for lying.
Good point.
Alex, Danny, great job today. Mace, you as well. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the reference on both my knees. It's been 3 days.